You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We return here, a midweek edition episode here on Wednesday. No Cole Jackson, unfortunately, today. I'm sad. I miss Cole. I miss answering these mailbag questions with him, but that is the name of the game today. It is the mailbag. We have a lot of good questions. Again, three full segments, so thank you to everybody who asked mailbag questions here today. I'm going to get to them. We're going to answer them. We're going to talk about them, and it's going to be great. Again, the Ravens coming off of a 31-25 overtime victory over the Indianapolis Colts, and just it's still lost for words. And my job is to talk about this team, and sometimes the team just ends up absolutely stripping you for words. And this is exactly what this Ravens team has done week in and week out. It's been a wild, crazy, honestly pretty amazing ride, and I'm really excited to be able to cover this team in such an amazing, really unique season for sure. So here today, it's going to be three segments. We'll do one segment of mailbag, two segment of mailbag, and finally three segments of mailbag. So let's just dive into these questions. We have a bunch of good ones. Before we do that, though, if you're following along with us here on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you do enjoy the content. Thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. Also, be sure to follow us in audio form if that's where you're following along. And Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time is where we put out our content. And also be sure to follow me on Twitter at ChaosStriker34. That's my personal account for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, historical perspective. I do live game tweets on there as well. And also be sure to follow the Locked On Ravens Twitter account. That's at Locked On Ravens. And on there are show updates. So let's dive right into it here. Three mailbag questions in this first segment. And we'll start off with a question from James K, who asks, how do we fix the linebacker struggles? And I think James speaks for a lot of people here when he asks this question, because when looking at it from what the Ravens have gotten out of their linebackers so far, obviously I think a lot of people, myself included, expected both Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison to take a huge and massive leap this season. Now, there have been some positives for both players, but it's been rather underwhelming. Patrick Queen has not played very good football over these last 3 weeks. Malik Harrison has been very up and down as well. And these are two players who really have complementary skill sets to each other. They complement each other very well. Queen is a guy who is a sideline-to-sideline player, a bit on the smaller side, but the Ravens have never really taken that into consideration. And honestly, for me, the size of a player isn't really a huge factor, but it's no secret that Queen sometimes gets washed out of plays, sometimes has issues taking on blockers, which, you know, for his size is understandable, but he needs to be a bit more aggressive in getting off of those blocks. And he's shown that. Like, there are plays of him, and there are even plays of it on Monday night where he does get off of blocks and he shoots up a gap and he's able to make a play. Patrick Queen made a couple of nice plays, but people, when they talk about Patrick Queen right now, it's the tackling. This is always, oh, this guy can't tackle, and when is this guy going to learn to tackle? And it's those types of things. I honestly think, you know, it's how do we fix the linebacker struggles, James asks. And I think what the Ravens need to do is try to incorporate veterans in there a little bit more. Josh Bynes is somebody who I think could potentially play a role, not an every down role, but a role. And honestly, in my opinion, this team is missing LJ Fort. I think LJ Fort is a much bigger loss than some people think he is. Now, I know there are some people out there who think he's a huge loss, and I'm of that group. But I think having a steady veteran presence out there will help guys like Queen and Harrison. And look, I think this is almost like, it's not exactly the same situation, but I'm sure some Ravens fans might be going through deja vu with the whole Patrick Owosso and Kenny Young pairing. Actually, surprisingly and funny enough, numbers 48 and 40 on the Ravens a couple years ago. Now Queen has switched to 6, but still, those two were expected to be the linebacker duo of the future, Owosso and Young. Both players did not pan out, and they were missing C.J. Mosley on that defense. And obviously, look, Mosley's a great player, but just having a player on the field who has NFL experience, who has a bit of it. Queen and Harrison are both learning on the fly. They're both young players, and I expect them to continue to get better. And honestly, for Queen, he's somebody who I think he knows that he's not playing well. I kind of talked about this a bit yesterday, but I think he knows he's not playing well. Now it's just up to him to continue to stay true to himself and believe in himself. It has not been pretty. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Patrick Queen has not played well over these last 3 weeks. For the most part, he's shown some flashes, but we need to see more of those flashes, in my opinion. So maybe making a move for a veteran, you know, whose playing time does that cut into? I'm not sure. Maybe the Ravens think they have that veteran on the roster already in Josh Bynes. Is Chris Board the odd man out? There are a lot of questions there, but I think maybe a veteran addition could be of some help to this Baltimore Ravens team, especially their inside linebacker group as they, you know, wait for LJ Fort to return next year, assuming he is back on the team, and maybe a pairing of Bynes and someone else like Bynes and Fort were those two guys for them in 2019 could work out decently well. Next, we're going to talk about a question from Jordan Rouse, who asks, the running backs did not get it done. Who do you see getting the bulk of the carries next week against the Chargers? And yeah, this, I've talked about this. The Ravens run game has not been phenomenal over these last 3 weeks. It's been a struggle. Now, part of it has to do with the fact that teams are keying in on it. They are, to an extent, selling out to stop the run. And what does that do? It sets up nicely for the pass on Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson has shown that leap to say, hey, you're stopping the run. Well, I'm just going to beat you with my arm anyway. And that's been great for him. But it would be nice, you know, if Lamar Jackson didn't have to carry this team on his arm, and guys like Latavius Murray and Tyson Williams, Devonta Freeman, if Le'Veon Bell's a call up, maybe those guys coming out and performing well for the Ravens. So, you know, looking at the actual stats for them, I do want to just go through the running backs. Latavius Murray, 6 for 17, that's 2.8 yards per carry. Tyson Williams, 4 for 6, that's 1.5 yards per carry. And Devonta Freeman, 1 for 1, that is 1 yard per carry. Lamar Jackson led this team 14 carries for 62 yards. So Lamar Jackson is doing it all on the football field for the Ravens, and he's a star. He can do it all. But again, it'd be nice to have that help. And the Ravens are missing J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I know a lot of people have talked about the fact that, oh, you know, running backs, you can plug them in and they can go. And I actually talked about this on 105.7 last week. I was asked a question about it, and I said, I have a greater appreciation now for running backs a little bit, because what Edwards and Dobbins bring to the Ravens, their skill sets are so unique and so special that I'm not saying that Murray and Williams and all the other guys are bad, but they're definitely lacking something that Edwards and Dobbins bring, and that is not on the field for them this year. So honestly, this question is asking who gets the bulk of the work next week, or I guess this week against the Chargers, you know, looking at actual snap counts, it's actually interesting to look through who has been on the field more for this team at the running back position. Latavius Murray has been dominating over these last couple of weeks, though. Just the last 2 weeks, Latavius Murray in week 4, 62% of snaps at 45, and in week 5, he had 36% of snaps. And for example, Tyson Williams, week 4, obviously inactive, had none. Week 5, 14 snaps, that's 19%. So Murray, 62-49 compared to 0-19 for Tyson Williams, compared to 8-27 for Devonta Freeman. It looks like it's Latavius Murray's backfield right now. I wouldn't be shocked if it stays that way. But Greg Roman has made it pretty clear that he's not going to roll with just a one ball carrier throughout this entire year. And they've shown it. They're switching it up, but it's also a matter of them finding their identity, which is huge because, you know, whether it's finding cutback lanes or working to the outside or powering it up the middle, the Ravens just have not been able to get this run game going as a team. Only 3.4 yards per carry against the Colts in week 5. That's not going to get it done, especially when it's Lamar Jackson doing most of the work. Now, Jackson, again, can do it, but to have the run game on while also having the pass game on, that is something that can be an extremely dangerous Ravens offense for the rest of the year if they can figure it out and get it going. So I'm going to say Murray gets the bulk of the carries again in week 6, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, he's getting 90% of the carries or playing 80% of the snaps. It's probably going to be whoever they put out there, whether they decide to bring up Bell again or put Freeman in the action, more Williams, whoever, but I think it's going to be Murray who gets the bulk of the carries. And finally, our last question that we're going to talk about in this segment before we head in to our first break, we'll go defense with a question from Feezy. He asks, obviously happy about the win, but the defense scared me a little. What was the main issue on the defensive side of the ball? So Going back to the Colts game, what was the issue on defense? Well, there were a few. Tackling was one of them, but this Colts team actually played a really good game on offense. I don't want to take away from what they did. And I talked about this a bit yesterday as well, where the Colts executed screens really well against the Ravens and the kind of the short passing game. We've known for a while that this Ravens defense is a bend, don't break unit, meaning they will play off. And there have been plenty of times where there will be fans, whether on Twitter or whatever, they'll be like, why are they playing so off right now in a third and two or a third and three or whatever? The Ravens play off coverage. They don't want to give up anything deep. They really don't want to give up anything deep. So they will give teams the short stuff sometimes in order to prevent that deep stuff, which, I mean, look, that's their agenda. That's fine. But what beats that stuff is the short passing game, plus the fact that the Ravens are an aggressive blitzing defense. That combined with the bend don't break defense kind of gives them a bit of a weakness in terms of the short passing game. But also, I think screens are something that this team really has to look out for. And screens have been something that the Ravens have, over the last, I don't even know how many years it is now, they have struggled to defend screens. And Jonathan Taylor, you know, takes that screen pass to the house. And it's kind of like, again, oh man, is it one of those kind of nights? Now, it wasn't. The Ravens came back and won. But for an aggressive blitzing defense, plus the bend don't break, we can throw that in there too. If you have 6, 7, 8 guys blitzing and it's third down and whatever, if you just throw a pass out there, a screen pass, all the defenders are behind the line of scrimmage because they're all rushing the quarterback. And then all of a sudden you have blockers out in front and there aren't as many defenders because they're all behind the line of scrimmage. So that gives ball carriers a ton of room to run. And the Ravens in general defending screens on that Taylor touchdown, we saw, I think it was Jimmy Smith and Chuck Clark run into each other. So the actual execution of it also has been a little bit iffy, but that's where I think the problem was. Also, the defense in general, just tackling again, wasn't amazing. There were a couple plays where we saw it come up and just do stuff, but the defensive line got bullied for most of this game. The Colts got chunk plays with the run. They got chunk plays with the pass. The Ravens were generating some pressure. That was a nice thing to see. But I think it was just the defensive line getting bullied back a lot, and that opened up some areas for the Colts to exploit the Ravens' defense. Anthony Averett also had a really bad game in this one. Played really well up until this game, but, you know, speaking the truth, he did not play well at all on Monday night, and hopefully he'll be able to bounce back. But it seemed like every play he was targeted, he was getting cooked, getting mossed, whatever. So the Ravens, they have some work to do. Definitely their tackling, figuring out how to defend those screens, and hopefully guys like Averett can bounce back. And we'll see. This Chargers team coming up in week 6 will be a good game. You know, the Chargers offense has a lot of stars on it, so hopefully the Ravens will be able to bounce back on defense. We're going to head into our first break, though. When we return, we're going to be getting into more mailbag questions, so stay tuned for that. And we will be right back. But hey, Ravens fans, this is Kevin Ostreicher with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about in GetUpside. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's with the 50 cents cash back. So don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Just get cash back using GetUpside. Download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents a gallon back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. We return here, our second segment of this midweek edition of Locked On Ravens here on Wednesday. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you, and we're going to dive into more mailbag questions. Of course, we got more coming your way, both in the second and the third segments here, so let's talk about them. Let's get into a question from Rory B, don't want to forget the B at the end, who asks, how much of a blank show would we be in if we had no Lamar? You know, this is a family-friendly show, but let me tell you, Rory, Lamar Jackson, how much of a hole would the Ravens have been in? I don't even want to imagine it, to be completely honest with you. It's something where the Ravens are so lucky to have a player like Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson is on the field, the Ravens have a chance, right? But let's look at the opposite end of that. When Lamar Jackson is not on the field, this team has a lot more weaknesses than strengths on the offensive side of the ball. Now, That's not saying that the Ravens have built a terrible team and that their team isn't talented outside of Lamar Jackson. They have that, but going back to what we saw from, you know, Robert Griffin III when Lamar Jackson wasn't on the field, Tyler Huntley. Now, Tyler Huntley's results were better than Robert Griffin III, and I actually trust Tyler Huntley a lot more than Robert Griffin III. I think a lot of people do too. But in this game, Lamar Jackson willed this team back from 19 down, 22-3 with 3:06 left in the third quarter. You might have heard that one yesterday. But it's just amazing how much he can stretch a defense, strain a defense, stress out a defense. But it's not just the run anymore that so many people are saying, oh, you know, he just runs the ball and that's all he does and that's all that he can do. No, teams key in on the run. What does Lamar Jackson do? He airs it out. Marquise Brown playing phenomenal football this year outside of week three. Mark Andrews, big coming on game for him. He played really well. Sammy Watkins unfortunately goes down, but there are contributions from Devin Duvernay, from James Prochet. Devonta Freeman gets in on the receiving action. Lamar Jackson, what he does for this Ravens team is unlike any other quarterback in the NFL at this moment. He is playing at an MVP level. And so when talking about this game in particular, when they are down so much, the defense is reeling. They're giving up anything and everything. We talked about what kind of went wrong with the defense in the first segment there. What does Lamar Jackson do? He continues to just play his game and slowly begins to chip away and chip away at that Colts lead. The defense suddenly gets a little spark from that and starts to stop a little bit. And all of a sudden, you have a team that is starting to click a little bit, get those pieces together, and all of a sudden, you have a ball game. The Ravens tie it up, and then in overtime, he leaves that game-winning drive. He was in a zone. He was in a different zone. It was something that not a lot of people could stop him at that point. The Colts defense had given Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense a lot of trouble, both in 2020 and in 2021. But it's about adjustments, how Greg Roman adjusted. Greg Roman did not call a great first half. He adjusted. Lamar Jackson was actually playing not terribly in the first half, right? 8 of 11, I think the numbers were. But he comes out and just absolutely dominates, has 37 of 43 completions or completes 37 of 43 passes, 442 yards, a career high, 4 touchdowns. This guy is unbelievable. He's on another level right now. Now, hopefully he can continue that trend and also continue to improve, you know, the deep ball accuracy. It's getting there, still not perfect. Turnovers also, you have the fumble on the 1 yard line. He was a little bit better with the turnovers in weeks 3 and 4, but, you know, just a little bit more ball security I would like. Now, that hasn't really been an issue for Jackson over the last couple of seasons. His rookie year, it was a huge problem, but he's kind of cleaned up on it a little bit. So hopefully just getting back to that. And the quarterback's going to turn over the football. I'm not saying he should never turn over the football again or else he is having a terrible career, a terrible year. But, you know, a little bit more ball security I think would be great. But at the same time, he's not turning the ball over at an absolutely absurd pace. But yeah, this team, it's amazing to have a guy like Lamar Jackson on it, someone who can single-handedly spark a franchise and have these amazing games. If Lamar Jackson isn't on the field for a lot of these games, the Ravens might be 1-4, 2-3 right now instead of 4-1. So yeah, I'm sure a lot of people in that Baltimore organization are very thankful for Lamar Jackson. And I'm also sure that Jackson is very thankful to be a part of that Ravens organization, obviously. Our next question here comes from YallSeeMe84, who asks, when are they going to see that Lamar Jackson is a real quarterback? So yes, let's continue the Lamar Jackson discussion here in this second segment. When are they going to see, you know, hopefully people's eyes are opening. My eyes have been open for a long time. I'm sure a lot of people's listening. Your eyes have been open for a long time. But it's a matter of just like every single week, it almost seems like there's something that takes away from Lamar Jackson's performance. This week, though, seems a little bit different. It seems like everybody's finally starting to talk about Lamar Jackson a little bit more. Now, obviously, the John Gruden thing happened in the middle of Monday Night Football, so people were focused on that for a little bit. But Lamar Jackson goes nuclear. And, you know, we saw he had a great day passing the football in week 4. That kind of gets overshadowed by the whole drama thing. He played decently well also in week 3, right? People say, oh, he didn't play well in week 3. He had this and didn't really complete a lot of passes. Lamar Jackson played well against Detroit in week 3 throwing the football, but that gets overshadowed by Justin Tucker. So it's almost like the overshadowing stuff. And like the Tucker field goal, yeah, that deserves a lot of attention. The week 4 drama, not as much. But now it seems like people are finally starting to talk about Jackson. That is what is, I don't know, it's exciting to me just because it seems like people are finally starting to turn their heads towards Jackson. You know, all these narratives are finally getting busted, you know, and they've been getting busted for a very long time. It's not just this just happened on Monday night where Lamar Jackson tears everything down and finally is like, oh, he's this great quarterback. He's been really good for a long time. And I think people are starting to see that. People in Baltimore, I think, have seen it, and they know. Lamar Jackson, this Ravens organization, have known it since day one. I've been a big Lamar Jackson believer ever since his days at Louisville. I'm sure a lot of other people were as well. It's not just me, obviously. But, you know, you hear the running back stuff, and you hear the can't throw, can't play from behind. If you stop the run, you win. Force them to throw and you win. It's all those kinds of narratives. And each and every week, it's like another thing gets brought up. And then Lamar Jackson works to take it down, or he's not actively thinking about it, but, you know, he does take it down at some point. So I think people are finally starting to realize that there's not a lot of negatives you can talk about in his game. There are some. He's not a perfect quarterback. Nobody is. But I think the way he is playing, he has cemented himself once again. He has to prove himself every single year, as all quarterbacks do. But for him, it just seems a little bit more like he has to do it, and it's starting from a little bit more of a disadvantage, I guess. I don't know, but he gets compared to every quarterback, and it's all like, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Mahomes? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, this, that, and the other. But I think finally we're starting to see it. And honestly, to them, it doesn't even matter. And to me, honestly, look, if people believe all that stuff, I don't understand how they can believe it with the stats literally right there in front of you, with the play and the tape literally right there in front of you. But that's what they believe. And the Ravens don't care. They believe in themselves. But I understand how it can get a little bit annoying for people who are looking at Lamar Jackson playing this well and then seeing people say, oh, he can't do this and he can't do that. So, yeah, I think people are really starting to figure it out and starting to see that, yeah, Lamar Jackson is for real. And I've known he's for real for a very long time. And then let's finish it out here with more Lamar Jackson talk. We're going to make it a Lamar Jackson thing. We have a lot of Lamar Jackson questions. Luis F. Canales, who asks, what next dumb take is left for Lamar haters? And yeah, exactly. It kind of goes into what I was saying before about what is next. Lamar Jackson didn't really complete a lot of passes to his left on Monday night. So it's all, he can't throw to his left. We've seen about, he can't throw to outside the numbers. He's an over the middle of the field quarterback. I listed out a couple just a few minutes ago. Can't throw, can't do this, can't do that. But he doesn't care. The Ravens don't care. And that's really what I love about this team. They are resilient in the fact that they probably hear some of this noise. And, you know, however well they do at tuning it out, some of it probably slips through the cracks. They probably hear a little bit about it. We know that J.K. Dobbins, before the season started, said he used the Pro Football Focus rankings as fuel for him. So I'm sure that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens organization see some of this and sees all the narratives. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Lamar Jackson, during the combine in 2018, were continuously asked by media, you know, if a team asked you to play wide receiver, would you do it? Would you do it? And it was like the whole press conference. And he just kept saying, no, no, you know, very respectful about it. But to have somebody have to go up there who has proven himself at the quarterback position, is able to get so many accolades, win a Heisman Trophy, and then all of a sudden be asked about, hey, are you open to switching positions? Because teams don't think you can do that at the next level. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. So I'm very excited for Lamar Jackson. I'm very happy for Lamar Jackson that he is putting together these masterclass performances on the grand stage. And even when it's not the grand stage, he's doing it each and every week now. Now it's about him continuing that trend. You know, he can't just have this be his best game and then all of a sudden flatten out and go back to, you know, what he was his rookie season. Now, obviously, that is very unlikely to happen. I don't believe that's what's going to happen. He has shown continuous growth. I expect him to continue to show that growth, and I'm excited to see what's next for him. We're going to head into our final break, though. When we get back, we're going to be diving into our final batch of mailbag questions, so stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. But Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors, including coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? This week, there's a limited time flavor in cookie dough chunk. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. You can order today and go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. We've returned here. Our final segment of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you. We talked about mailbag questions in the first segment, got into more in the second segment. we're rounding it out here with our final batch in the third segment. Let's dive into it. We talked about Lamar Jackson in the second segment. It's not stopping. We're talking about more Lamar Jackson in the third segment. And we're starting off with a question from Carson Stewart, who asks, do you think that was the best game of Lamar's career so far? You know, this is a really interesting question. Now, what I'm going to say for certain is I think this is Lamar Jackson's best half of football ever. And by half, I mean, well, obviously the second half, but fourth quarter and overtime, that was Lamar Jackson's best stretch of his career. Absolutely. Second half, absolutely the best half of his career. Best game, the Ravens started off really slow in this one. You know, if you want to have like dominant performances, you can go back to week one in 2019 against Miami. You could go to the Monday Night Football game against the Los Angeles Rams in 2019, Cincinnati in 2019. He had a couple of them in 2020 as well. There are a few. I'm going to say this is a top five game for him. I might say Miami coming out might be his best actual game just because he literally dominated that game in such an amazing fashion. But there are a lot of things that go into performance first game. And what I mean by that is Lamar Jackson's individual performance against Miami, right? He was just tearing it up. He was dominating. He was dotting balls. He was throwing deep shots, this, that, and the other. That is his best performance. But what defines a best game to me is not only the performance, but also what the situation of the game is. Lamar Jackson was down 22-3 with 3 minutes and 6 seconds left in the third quarter. I've repeated it so many times over these last 2 days because it is insane to me how we hear it so often. Lamar Jackson can't play from behind. He can't do this. That it makes it at least a top four game, maybe even in the top three for me, because he came back. This defense was stifling this offense. They weren't getting a ton going. It was three and outs in the first half, but he gets it together in the second half. And that's why I'm saying it's his best second half of football, not necessarily his absolute best complete game. But when you look at the half, he was down. You know, the Ravens were almost out. One bounced the wrong way, one this, one that, one extra mistake, because there were a lot of them, could have put them in a hole that was unrecoverable. And a lot of people thought that 22-3 deficit was unrecoverable anyway. But him coming back, him being able to rally his team around him and just go nuclear makes that his absolute best half of football, in my opinion, in a top three game for me, and a memorable experience that we're going to be talking about in Baltimore for a very, very long time. Next here, though, we're done with the Lamar Jackson talk. Let's get back to the linebackers with John's Pan from Eastward, who asks, so what do we make of Patrick Queen? Harrison and him have been beyond disappointing. And yeah, I understand how those two have been disappointing, especially Patrick Queen was talking a lot about how he felt improved during the offseason and in the preseason as well. We saw the preseason performance from Patrick Queen, and a lot of people, you know, myself included, part of this defense was the fact that they didn't really add to it. You know, they brought back a lot of their guys. They lost a couple to Matthew Judon, Yannick Ngakoue. But part of what was going to have this defense take that next step was the improved play of players like Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison and Deshaun Elliott. Now, Elliott's played pretty good football. Queen played really good football in week one. So at the end of the day, with Queen in general, a lot of his issues are obviously with tackling. I think he's actually gotten a decently good amount better in coverage. And he's done a couple of other things that I've been a bit impressed with, but it's been the bad that has kind of overshadowed the good. Like, you know, for example, Tavon Young's play, we'll talk about this in a few minutes here. Tavon Young's play had a great game against Indianapolis in week five, but has that penalty and that kind of washes away a lot. Now, it was Jack Doyle's fault. Like, don't get me wrong, but the negative kind of outweighed that positive for a bit, especially when it looked like the Ravens were going to lose the game off of it. So for Queen, he's done some good, but it hasn't been up to the expectations that so many people wanted from him. Same thing with Harrison. Harrison has been a very up-and-down player this year. It's just a matter of them continuing to get familiar, continuing to gain experience, play through their mistakes. But it's difficult because this team is a contender right now, and having young guys playing through their mistakes on a contending team, it causes fluctuations because you expect everybody to be at the top of their games, when in reality, some guys are just learning, and it's natural, and it's part of the game. So look, I'm not going to sugarcoat things and say Patrick Queen has been the best linebacker in football. He is not. He is far from that right now. But I think he can continue to improve and learn from his mistakes and make sure that he is more of a contributor on this defense is what I'll say. And same thing with Harrison as well. Finally here, though, we're going to be looking at a question from S, and he asks, what does the Ravens flock need to do to get Anthony Averett and Tavon Young arrested? Now, well, we're not getting anybody arrested. We're not doing that. But this question expresses disappointment in both Tavon Young and Anthony Averett is what it's going to be. For these two players, I think that Tavon Young had a great game. He looked very fast on the field. He looked quick to diagnose things, was good tackling, was one of the Ravens' better tacklers in this game. But what I just talked about was the penalty kind of washed away all that positivity, especially when it looked like the Ravens were going to lose the football game off of it. Now, Tavon Young cannot retaliate in that situation, but Jack Doyle with a completely cheap shot move, you know, slamming his head into the ground, it's ridiculous. But that's what happens at the NFL game, unfortunately. I think you should be able to review those plays, honestly, where you can see, you know, oh, why'd this guy get up and shove this guy to the ground? Was there anything from the other player that caused it? Then you can make the correct call. I think that'd be a really nice thing to implement. But for right now, that 15-yard penalty from Tavon Young almost cost the Ravens the game, and that's a disappointment there. But I thought Young looked great on the football field, you know, with his actual play. I thought it was great. Averett, on the other hand, not the same thing. Averett was not good at all. He was, again, I talked about it, getting mossed, getting beat. Everything was getting caught against him. It was not a great day for Anthony Averett. So, yeah, I think that this team has some work to do in the secondary. Now, Tavon Young's been great. His availability has made it so that Marlon Humphrey can play a lot better on the field in terms of where he's able to go. Averett hopefully just bounces back. This was a really bad performance outside of the rest of his year, which has been really good. So, yeah, I don't know what this team is going to do in the secondary. They brought in a couple of corners for workouts yesterday. So maybe they're looking for options, just depth, because they don't have a ton of it. There isn't a lot. The Ravens couldn't really put Anthony Averett on the bench, even though he wasn't playing very well. So, yeah, I don't know. The Ravens will have to get more out of Anthony Averett. They had gotten it, but then it was like, oh, it's a step back for him. Tavon Young played great. Averett, not so much. But that's all I have for you today here on Locked On Ravens. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be getting into Crossover Thursday with Locked On Chargers. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.